Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with the government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with Ron Sanders, Chief Human Resource Officer at the Internal Revenue Service. Welcome, Ron.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Great. And joining us on our conversation is another PwC partner, Jim Cook. Good morning,
Jim.
Morning,
Paul. Morning, Ron.
Well, Ron, let's begin by talking about the IRS. We all know it as the collector and the administrator of our taxes, but many listeners perhaps don't know the scope of the work of the IRS. Could you fill us in on its mission and its overall responsibilities?
The IRS is a relatively small, obscure agency, and few people know what it does. I guess everybody knows what it does come April 15th. And one of the things I found most interesting in my relatively short tenure at the IRS is the range of things that it does. We employ about 100,000 people, and the reason I say about is that during filing season, we swell to about 110,000 or 115,000. We may be the government's largest user of seasonal employees. And after filing season, basically come May or June of each year, we shrink that workforce down to about 94,000 to 95,000. Within the 95,000 or so that are permanent full-time employees of the IRS, we run the range of people who spend their days on the telephone answering calls from taxpayers to accountants who spend their days auditing books even have our share of economists and engineers, as under our new structure, we regulate large businesses and major industries. So there's quite a range of employees and occupations in the IRS, folks who process individual tax returns in our service centers, to lawyers who take people to tax court.
How about the Office of Human Resources? How's that set up, and how does it take care of all these different employees?
Well, actually, we're also a relatively recent phenomenon. It's not that the IRS hasn't had an Office of Human Resources in the past, but one of the things we've done as part of the larger Internal Revenue Service transformation, and I know we're going to talk about that, is that we've restructured the way we approach our human resources as well. Before, the IRS viewed itself as a unitary employer, one size fits all, one big company, 100,000 people strong. And now that we've divided into operating divisions, each of those divisions now has its own specialized human resource staff. That has proved to be extremely effective so far. And again, I know we'll get into a little more about the new IRS structure in a moment. My office reports to the commissioner, and our principal focus is strategic. We have some operational responsibilities. For example, I deliver all of our leadership and management development courses in the IRS. There's a reason for that, because we want corporate consistency in that regard. But I don't have to worry about things like processing personnel transactions. We've created a new organization, something called Agency-Wide Shared Services, that takes care of those sorts of backroom operations, facilities, procurement, personnel, payroll, et cetera. Their customers are IRS employees and managers. My job is strategic. And one of the reasons we've moved to this new configuration is, you know, surprise, surprise, if I had operational responsibilities, you know, fighting fires would occupy the bulk of my time. I wouldn't be looking out 12 months, 24 months, 5 years. And in keeping with some of the things that David Walker's been saying about managing human capital, you can't afford to have a short-term operational perspective exclusively. Somebody has to do that. Somebody has to worry about it. But like many private sector companies, and our new structure was modeled after private sector companies, we've got a relatively small, focused staff that reports to the commissioner, and that gives him advice and guidance on where the IRS ought to be going with respect to its people, not so much the day-to-day business of doing that.
Ron, let's talk about you for a minute. Give us a little background on your career, how you got started at the IRS, and more specifically, how you were drawn to human resources.
Actually, how I got started at the IRS is interesting. I've only been there now 3 years, I'm a part of a very, very small minority. That is the number of people who come from outside the IRS. That's changing gradually. But when I got there 3 years ago, for example, a number of executives in the IRS who had not been born there and grew up there, literally fingers and toes, a very, very small number. I got to the IRS in part because I was asked to testify on the IRS Restructuring and Reform Act by the Senate Finance Committee back in 1998. Part of the that Restructuring Act includes some personnel flexibilities, flexibilities that are in large part unique to unique in government, unique to the IRS. I'm an HR person. I have been for my entire career. I was asked in the capacity I was in at the time, a college professor at George Washington University, to comment on those flexibilities. When I was done, Commissioner Rosati basically said, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? You've said those flexibilities are great. They're essential for an organization undergoing this sort of massive transformation. Take your academic hat off, put your practitioner hat back on, and come help me implement them. So I did. I'll back up a little bit. I've been a human resource professional from the very beginning. I've also been a public servant from the very beginning. And there are reasons for both. First, in terms of public service, ever since I was in college, I viewed public service as a way of making a difference, a qualitatively different sort of career than going to work for a private company. And actively sought out a career in government when I graduated more years ago than I'm going to tell you about today. And my first job with the government actually was as a field examiner for the National Labor Relations Board. We would go investigate charges of unfair labor practices amongst private employers. I did this in Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arkansas. And if you've ever seen the movie Norma Rae, that was sort of my life. And I have to tell you, I actually was very frustrated by it because I encountered people who were working under just abysmal working conditions, company towns, very low wages, very poor conditions, and frankly, in my view, weren't being treated very well. Certainly weren't being treated as human capital in the David Walker sense. And I thought my job would contribute to their betterment, and it frankly did not. And I concluded early on that if I wanted to make a difference in people's lives at work, I had to be in the HR business, and left the NLRB shortly thereafter, went to work for the Air Force as a civilian employee in human resource management, and then I won't bore you with the rest of my history, but that's how I got into the business.
But you move across the different sectors, so I'm wondering from just a management perspective if you could compare the differences across the sectors.
Well, let me try public versus private first. I think, although you could easily argue that the public service has taken this to the extreme in some cases, the protections afforded to public employees in part to shield them from political influence and other arbitrary actions, I think sets a pretty high bar. The merit principles that actually control entry into the public service, that too sets a pretty high bar. The fact that we work in the public trust, that sets a high bar. And I think all of those things tend to make the employer, in this case the federal government, look at its employees differently than perhaps many private employers do. At least the private employers that I dealt with back in the 70s, and I suspect that's still in part the case today, depending on labor market conditions, et cetera. And in terms of academia, just an editorial comment, I went off and taught for a couple of years, first at Maxwell School at Syracuse and then at GW, and at the risk of burning some bridges. I originally thought that that's what I wanted to do when I grew up, that is, when I left government service. But one of the things I found is that it was frustrating to watch other people do things, to study what they did, in some cases to even advise them about what they were doing, and not actually do it. The reason I left George Washington University, even though they dangled a faculty position in front of me, it was because, frankly, it gave me a chance to get my hands dirty again. And as an academic, you don't. I mean, that's sort of part of the definition. You want to stay detached and dispassionate about some of these things. And in the case of the IRS, I've come to get to be very passionate about its transformation.
Of all of the roles that you've had throughout your career, where would you say you've received the best training or to set you up for the position that you have today?
In the early 90s, I went to work for the Department of Defense when Secretary Cheney came in and was charged basically with downsizing the department. The Berlin Wall had fallen or was about to, and I was brought in as the senior career executive in human resources, at least on the civilian side, not the military, to help in that effort. And that was an historic transformation. It was more numbers-driven, certainly, than the IRS transformation is now. Ours is much more of a qualitative transformation, more structural than DOD was in the early 90s. But the change that that engendered and being part of the team responsible for bringing about that change in the most humane way possible, that threw me into the cauldron. It certainly gave me a pretty thick skin, lots of scar tissue. And so when I interviewed with Commissioner Rosati and he looked at my resume and he said, you've been there, you've dealt with big numbers, 100,000 people is, in relative terms, small. And it's not as scary when you've dealt with change at the magnitude we did in the Defense Department.
Well, that's a good stopping point. Come back with us after the break when we ask Ron Sanders of the IRS about the new customer service focus of the agency. Find out how the task of training the employees was done. This is the Business of Government Hour.